maybe on the inside. It says prelude. I'm going to read the part where it says pastor, and you'll read the part where it says people. That's called antiphonal. One says something and then the other responds. One says something. It's an old pattern. Glory to God in the highest. For Jesus has come and now reigneth.
And we long for his coming again.
Oh, that our eyes could now see him. The light which has pierced every darkness.
The enemy dares to make war.
Fear he has banished forever. Sin is defeated, its power unseated. The Word became flesh to redeem us. He is with us and for us and in us and through us. All right, we're going to sing a cappella, I think.
Why don't we let Melissa start it?
Melissa, can she start it?
Right. We don't want to get it up too high.
Okay. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, of angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill toward men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. I don't know if I know the tune. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless streets, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Then Away in the Manger, it's the third one. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. I don't think I can do this one. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields were they keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Israel. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to read the scripture for tonight, Matthew. We often read out of 1 John, but tonight we're going to read from Matthew 1, chapter 1, verse 18. He has just been rehearsing all the generations from the beginning of the world to Jesus. That means that, unlike you read and hear in school, there never was a time when there wasn't history, recorded history. The births, the deaths, the names, the places. In fact, in the book of Genesis alone, there are over 10, I think there are 13, toledot, T-O-L-E-D-O-T-H. That means original. From the beginning of the world with Adam and Eve, they wrote down their names when people were born or when they came into being, where they lived, what town they lived in, and so on. They wrote all that down, and Moses later, because those clay tablets made their way onto Noah's Ark, there were only two people between the flood and creation, Adam and Methuselah. So Adam had those toledot and handed them to Methuselah, who died the day that the waters started to rise, the day that it started to rain. Exactly at that time, they buried him, and then those tablets were handed over to Shem, who then later gave them to Abraham. So it's only four people covering 2,000 years. People lived a long time in those days. But nobody lived over 1,000 years. So that's amazing that you could get that kind of history, and no other culture in the world has that exact kind of history as we find in our Bibles. So Matthew has been rehearsing these 14 generations. And now we read about the birth of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus, Christ, which just means Messiah, the Messiah of Israel, was on this wise. When, as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So Mary is about to deliver a child, but it's the first time in the world that this miracle has ever happened, that she did not know a man, Joseph, her husband. She did not, she was not with him at all, but this came from God himself that Mary had a child. And three or four times the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream, exactly the same way, to tell him when to depart or when to go back to Israel or when to do this or do that. And so God has been revealing his will to men from the beginning of the world. What is the world but his story? In other words, we call it history, but it's actually his story of God working with people and speaking to them, Losi, so that they could actually hear God speaking to them and telling them what not to do or what to do or what he's about to do or what his promises are and so on. So Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and then she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to put her to shame, make her a public example, was thinking about putting her away privately. In other words, she said, this is from the Holy Ghost. Well, he didn't believe that, but he was confused. And so he was thinking about that. I think the best thing I can do, because she's going to have a baby, but it's not my child. So I'll just send her back to her parents. I'll do it privately. Otherwise, she would be stoned. She would be publicly stoned. But while he thought on these things, number one, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. So both Mary and Joseph were from the Judah tribe, Yehuda, praise. And therefore, they were both royal blood. And the present king in Israel at the time that Jesus was born was Herod, an Idumean from Edom. And they hated the Jews, and the Jews hated them. But that was their king. So obviously, it wasn't God's kind of king, but Jesus was. So Jesus was born in this manger, not this one, but one like this. And this baby was born to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, the Emperor of the world. And there can be no other emperor in the world that can take his place. And so Satan has been busy from the foundation of the world to raise up kingdom after kingdom to destroy the church of the living God, which is God's kingdom on earth, where Jesus is the Lord. He's not only a priest, but he is a king, but he's the high priest and the high king. No one can be higher than him. So Napoleon or Genghis Khan or whoever tries to be an emperor will not succeed, will not last, because he's the only one that can have that title. So he's called in Hebrew Pele Yaetz, a wonderful counselor. This is referring to Jesus. El Gabor, the mighty God. This is referring to Jesus, one of his titles, one of his throne titles. And then Aviad, the everlasting father. In other words, Jesus started us as his race, as his generation, a new creation, not like the old creation that'll pass away, but a permanent one that'll live forever and ever in heaven. And finally, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. So he came and brought peace on earth. In Luke, the second chapter, if we have read that tonight, the 14th verse, it says, the angels sang to the shepherds, and this is what they sang, glory to God who's in the highest. He's the most high God. There is no other God but him. He is over all men, all things in heaven and earth, the most high God. And so he said, glory to God in the highest. These angels were singing to the shepherds, peace on earth. We have not had that for 6,000 years on earth. We have not had peace on earth. But now when Jesus came, he would be the Prince of Peace. He would be the one who was a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Those four titles, no other king, emperor on the earth has ever had those titles applied to him. This is reserved strictly for Jesus. So when Jesus came, he was no ordinary baby. This was an extraordinary baby who in heaven was the Son of God. But when he came to earth, he took on flesh there in that manger. When Mary gave birth to him, one of those toledot in the Old Testament, now is part of the genealogy of the generations or the births. It's a listing of births. Now that's recorded history from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the earth. So you're not taught that in school. You're taught the opposite, that dinosaurs roamed the earth and that there was a time, prehistory, prehistoric time. Not so. There has never been a time that men were cavemen or men were gorillas or men were sponges or something other. There was always civilization on earth from the beginning, and it's written down. And we have it written in our Bibles. So this is a continuation to say this one is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back soon. The first time he came, as a baby. The next time he comes back, he's coming back to take us to himself as his bride. In other words, you're not the bride now, you're betrothed to him. Just like she was betrothed to Joseph, but actually the baby did not come from Joseph. It did not come from a man. It came, and even though she had royal blood in her, it came from God himself. When Jesus came, he was Son of God, but he became Son of Man. In other words, he was a priest king. And every kingdom that's ever boasted proudly, we will build a tower, we will build a pyramid, we will build a ziggurat, we will build some high pagoda, something high and lifted up with its top in the heavens to make a name for ourselves. That rebellion has not left, and it's still with us at this hour. And there are many on earth today that want to have a world kingdom or empire and eliminate all Jewish people, all Christians, all Hindus, all Muslims, not Muslims, the Muslims that don't cooperate, but all Buddhists. That's open. It's on your television every night, whether you know it or not. They're trying to beat Jesus. They're trying to beat this baby born in a manger because he's coming back not as a baby. He's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rescue his people. And this time we will see Israel's kingdom restored to her, and everything will be as was promised in the Old Testament. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, verse 20, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, a royal family, don't be afraid to take unto yourself Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is before the birth, so this is conception, let's say 9 months prior to, so about 5 B.C., John the Baptist was born 6 months earlier than Jesus, but now when Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom, was in her 6th month, Mary visited her and stayed with her 3 months and then went home, but she couldn't stay because this was the first taxing under Caesar Augustus. Julius Caesar, his uncle, had been assassinated in 44 BC. And so he dreamed of an empire, tearing down the republic, forming an empire, but he never dared do it. And those that were republicans made sure that he never did it by assassinating him. But he made a will out the day before, choosing his nephew to be the next king, the next Roman emperor. But this would be the first one. And so Jesus was born exactly at the time when this great 6th kingdom in the world, first of all, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, 5, and now Rome. And then Rome would transform itself into another kind of Rome, Holy Rome. And then it's even now transforming itself into the New World Order. When you hear that term used by most of our presidents in the 20th century, you're hearing their attempt to build a worldwide empire, And the Muslims are now trying to take over before that happens. So there's a big war. That's what's going on. That's what this election is all about, is we still have a chance as Christians to see God keep his promise. So Christmas is all about the king coming the first time. And right behind it is the cross. Right behind this manger is the cross. Now, most scholars believe, wrongly, that Jesus was born this time of year, winter. It's even in the hymns we sing. But in the cold season, at the winter solstice, because that's when the pagan sun god was worshipped, and that's when there was a god that the Romans, it's one of their most popular gods, Mithras, that's when they would put a bull up and then people would be born again by running under the blood of that bull, and then they would be said to be born again. That was when Jesus was born. And Caesar Augustus himself believed himself to be a son of God. So these terms are borrowed by the enemy, but they only belong to Jesus. And so that baby, vulnerable baby, Herod wants to kill him, but because of these warnings, God always spares his people, the righteous people, which is us who believe that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that the world will never go to the wicked, ever. So right now they're trying their best to put the whole world under their power. But God has sworn an oath through his Son Jesus Christ that said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the other team, will not prevail against her. So the church, ecclesia, ecclesiology, church, that's us. We're the people of God who believe that Jesus is the true Prince of Peace, that he is the one that's for us, that he was the one that has wonderful counsel. He's the most powerful king ever. That anything that God says he'll do, no one can stop him. No one can argue with him. No one can defeat his plan. So his plan for you is that you're part of his kingdom, and he intends to marry you, not just be betrothed, when he comes back this second time. So could be in our lifetime. Lucy may see it. Lucy, you might see the second coming of Jesus because you're young, but I'm old. And so I may not see it, but I'd like to stay and see it. Will you pray for me that I could stay alive? Thanks. So God is real. This is not a story. This is his story of how he, from the beginning of the world, when he created the heavens and the earth, the natural sky and the atmosphere and stratosphere and ionosphere and so on, all of that, he created all that. He lives in the highest heaven, the heaven of the heavens. He lives there, but that's not created. That's something, wherever God is, there is heaven. If he's in your heart, there is heaven. The highest heaven is not just above the clouds. It means it's in your heart, so that he is now shaping history. Whether you know it or not, his hand is hidden. But whether you know it or not, he's actually shaping things so that we here, 2,000 years later, are still celebrating unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Not talking about human government, talking about God's government, spiritual kingdom. That kingdom of God is, we're all members of that kingdom of God. And because we believe that, you can't make it happen, but because he declared it to you, and if you believe that, then you're part of his family. And he wants everyone, including Muslims, he wants Buddhists, he wants Hindus, he wants all mankind to know the truth that will set them free, which is all other gods are no gods at all. This is the one true and living God. And he's now speaking to this man, Joseph. Joseph, thou son of David, don't be afraid to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her, conception, is of the Holy Spirit, is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. This is long before doctors could predict whether you have a child, male or female. But the Holy Spirit knows without any machines, without any sonogram, without any kind of help. The Holy Spirit knows exactly this is a son, and he names him. He not only said, in the womb. So that's why abortion is murder, because that baby, once it's conceived, is a person. And not only that, not only does it have a heart, and not only can it cry, not only can it feel, but that baby, and we now have video, of those babies from earliest time, and we can hear what they're saying, see what they're doing, and so on and so forth. You can see, the Bible said, when Mary visited Elizabeth in the sixth month, John the Baptist, who was in Elizabeth's tummy, jumped for joy, leapt up for joy, and Elizabeth immediately knew, why is it that the mother of my Lord has visited me? Knows, why are you here? That is impossible. There's no way she could know, but that baby recognized Jesus. He was 6 months older than him. Jesus came after him, but he who was before him was actually, Jesus was even before him. So Jesus was actually as ancient as not only the world itself, but as ancient as eternity. He always was. So now that he came into the world as a baby, the appearance is he's just a little baby vulnerable. You can harm him. You cannot harm him. Even though men slew him, later crucified him, that's why the cross is behind it. If I'm right, and I believe I am, Jesus was not born in the winter. He was born in the spring, around Passover time. I can't go into it now, but it's clear in the book of Luke that Jesus was born on Passover in that season. Not only that, but when he was 12 years old, it said he then went to the temple at Passover. So he was not only born in the spring at Passover time, when shepherds would be out in the field, because these were spring lambs 7 miles away from Jerusalem, so that people could sacrifice at that festival those lambs that were 1 year old without blemish. And so when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is where all the shepherds had their flocks by night, you stayed with them night and day, because in the spring you'll get one or two lambs. And so it couldn't have happened in the winter time. That's not when they give the birth. So this would either have to be in the fall or would have to be in the spring. But because he said Passover when he was about to be 30. Now 30 is also the Passover. And then Jesus had 4 Passovers during his ministry. The first one, second one, third one, and the last one where he was crucified. That tying together birth and death, not as one event, but as a related event, that Jesus came into the world and his father identified him with what John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." You don't have any sins now. Even though you've done sins, they're not counted because of that Lamb. Because God said to Abraham, "I myself will provide for myself a lamb for a burnt offering." And Jesus said of that meeting where God spoke through Abraham's mouth, Jesus said, he saw my day. He saw the day that I would come and the day that I would die for the sins of mankind. So his whole life is tied up in the spring festival, Passover. The Jewish people call it Pesach. So Passover is the time where the lamb atones for the sins of the people, and now the death angel cannot touch them. So it's a repeat of the original exodus from Egypt. Remember, Egypt is the first kingdom to try to destroy the Jewish people. The second one was Assyria, the third one was Babylon, fourth one was Persia, and the fifth one was Greece. All of those kingdoms are gone. All of those kingdoms are no longer in power. So their remnants are still alive, however, but they're no longer kingdoms. And they're trying to rebuild this new world order to compete with Jesus and the kingdom of God, which is inside of us. So ours is not an outward kingdom. Ours is a hidden kingdom. And the proof of it is the fruit. The proof of the truth of that gospel is that we are able now to bring peace on earth and declare it to people that God's not angry. God is not mad at you because you've sinned. God wants to not only forgive your sin, but then transform you so that sin no longer rules your life, and then perfect you, and then marry you, and then he wants to give you the prize, the inheritance, so that for Israel, they'll get the original land that was promised to Abraham, which today they're still waiting for and haven't yet seen with their eyes. But when Jesus comes back again after Jacob's trouble, 1260 days, after the purifying of the sons of Levi, the priests in Israel, who will turn to Yeshua, those that return to Yeshua will be the holy remnant. They will then rule in Jerusalem today. Now, we can predict all this because it's all in the Bible. It's all in the book of Revelation. It's in the book of Daniel. But actually, it's throughout the whole Bible. And you can read the prophets. You can read the patriarchs. You can read all the scriptures, Psalms. It's all in there saying the same, his story. And she shall bring forth, verse 21, a son, and you, Joseph, shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus, he who saves. He shall save. For he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, from their enmity against God, from the controversy that his own people, the Jewish people, have had trying to keep the law, trying to behave, trying to do their best. But under the law, nothing is made perfect. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin, someone who has not been with someone, shall be with child. In other words, he's an Alma, A-L-M-A-H. A virgin shall be with child. This is a miracle. And shall bring forth a son. Staying, now she's still a virgin. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which being interpreted in Hebrew means God with us. So God with us, taken from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it said, you will actually see God himself in the streets of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. You will actually see him on earth. And Jesus then, when he grows up, is crucified in that very city. He was just born 7 miles away in Bethlehem. All of that took place because Caesar wanted to tax the whole world. The Bible calls that darkness. Darkness is not the tax itself, but the purpose of the tax was to enslave the peoples of the world under one sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Caesar Augustus. God interrupted that program with his own son being born. So God used the taxing to bring Mary to Bethlehem, which is the royal city of David, so that he could, if you read the genealogy here, you could see that not only is Joseph from David's royal line, also Abraham and the patriarchs. So it's powerful. So I'm giving a background to our celebration. I don't think it doesn't matter to me whether we celebrate tonight or in the spring or in the fall, whatever. But what does matter is this is a historical religion that is not a myth. It's not made up. This is the real living God, and you and I can hear him, speak to him, obey him, serve him, and be his spotless bride that he's coming back for now 2,000 years after this birth and this death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and being seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Royalty is not over. There is only one king. Amen. And only one mediator between the Father and every one of you. Every one of us is personally related to God. Otherwise, you can't be part of his kingdom. So how do you get there? Easy. You just hear and believe. You're just looking for peace on earth. Not an outward peace, but an inward peace. That God is a loving Father. Always has been, always will be. He's never been an angry judge trying to destroy. He doesn't desire the death of any sinner. He desires rather, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came, so that we could actually be an example, a light, the salt that declares the truth of this gospel and convicts this world of its folly, of its wickedness, of its rebellion. But also that we could declare the kingdom of God has already come. The Jewish people are waiting for their Messiah, but their Messiah is actually not a Muslim caliph. It's not even a Jewish person. It's actually Jesus Christ. So the Messiah has already come, and they will someday recognize him as their king and their Lord of lords and repent and turn. Turn, just as the Bible says, and begin to learn the dance, to learn the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, putting those two together. And so for all eternity, we will be one flock, not two. Today, we're two. But soon, you'll see, God will turn history around his story so that you see everything he said will come to pass. Christmas for me is the incarnation. That is, God speaking a promise, but then actually making it real. In time, in space, in our lives. Changing this world indirectly. Not directly, the world doesn't know that this is the true king. But someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll finish this couple verses. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, Yeshua. The firstborn son in the Greek language, and the New Testament's written in Greek, is prototokos, P-R-O-T-O, and tokos, T-O-K-O-S. Prototokos means the first one to be begotten. In other words, passive. But it also, the same word, same spelling, can be the first one who has risen from out of the realm of the dead to rise again and to create a new creation, you and I. So that's why the Christmas story and the resurrection can be joined. Because Jesus is actually the creator of you and I. He's not just created, born of Mary, passive, which is true. Same word, prototokos. But he's also the one who creates a whole new generation of a race of people, spiritual. All of us are spiritual, but because we're believing something that makes no sense to our brain, it's not in line with our emotions, it's not in line with anything natural about us or cultural. It completely defies understanding. This cannot be understood by human reason or moral conscience. It has to be understood by the Holy Spirit personally revealing it to you so that you begin to rejoice. So Christmas to me is very happy. And now that I've linked it, you'll have to study it for yourself, linked it with the resurrection, it actually is a spring festival of Passover and of the resurrection from the dead. Because he rose in order to live in you forever and not be in a tomb, not be dead. But he was the first fruits from out of the realm of the dead to now make you his first fruits of the new kingdom, which is to come. Hallelujah. That's good. Anyone want to share? All right. Merry Christmas. God is good. God is good. You can watch to see because we're living in these last days. And you'll see right now there are more Jewish people living in Israel that have accepted Yeshua HaMashiach and who are already singing and saying, Baruch Abba, B'Shem Adonai, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that change in my lifetime, certainly, but in our lifetime, that change that many in Israel today are turning back to the original Messiah who came then, whom they killed, but he forgave them on the cross. Remember, he said, Father, forgive them. They act in ignorance. Therefore, do not count it against them. They do not know what they're doing. They're thinking to destroy me, I'm indestructible. They're thinking to do away with me because I'm a blasphemer or I'm saying things that are not true. But the truth is, I'm their savior. The truth is, I'm their only hope of salvation in the world. Not the law. The law only exposes their sinfulness. The gospel removes it. Not just forgives it, but removes it forever. And so God is now winning many Jewish people to the Lord and Muslim people. Many Muslim people today all over the world. And that's why I go to Muslim countries. I like to go where I can actually see with my own eyes people receiving the Lord Jesus Christ miraculously, because God is changing history to line up with his purposes. So you are part of the true religion because God sent his son, Jesus. Now, when you open your presents tomorrow, you don't have to worry, is somebody worthy? They're worthy in the sight of God, because he created them in the first place with a signature on them. This person belongs to me. Precious as is my son, Jesus Christ, so you are that precious. So don't push someone down whom God loves, because God will protect that person and is bringing his kingdom about. You don't have to believe it until you see it. But blessed are you if you believe it without seeing it. Hallelujah. David, close in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for way you did things, the way you regard things differently than human religion have us regard things, and stand down and just to ordinary people who aren't really special, but special. Yeah. You came to a place like Bethlehem that was just kind of a forgotten backwater place, and kind of similar to where we're from. Just ordinary people, and you were born, and your greatest glory was kind of hidden. And we just thank you that it's the same way with us, that you've wrapped your packages in kind of ordinary wrappers, but there's just something really glorious inside, and we're waiting to see it. We're going to see it tomorrow. We're waiting to see it in our own lives in this next year, and we're just excited for what you have in store for us. Okay. Just pray that everybody would be encouraged by the real message, the real gospel. And we just love you, Lord. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. And we just love you and pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah. Now if the ushers would... Yes, and then we'll do the silent night. The offering. So can I have a couple ushers...
Could I get someone to turn out the lights? And we're going to sing Silent Night. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glorious streams from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant gleam from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Father, we thank you that you brought joy and peace to a world which had no hope until you appeared. Our hope was in vain, but now we have real hope that every word that you have spoken will come to pass, and that we truly can rejoice in this world, knowing that darkness is in the world, but the light has overcome the darkness. And these little lights of ours are the fact that you're living inside of us. The kingdom of God is within. And we thank you, Lord God, that you intended for us to bear fruit, to manifest your glory, to show this world that heaven is real. It's not just the future, it's a present. And that Jesus lived to give us this light, and he died so that the light would never go out until you returned to enlighten every man and all kings of the earth who will bow and declare that truly you are the Lord. And all the people said,
amen.
Merry Christmas.